Ladies and gentlemen, the Fitness Retention Podcast. Really cool episode today. We've got Tyler Glenn, the business development manager of the Southeastern U.S. for Lifetime Athletic. Really cool show today, first because I just really like Tyler and I think he is a really good and honest dude. And he and I have talked a couple of times, but throughout this conversation and in the subsequent times we've talked, it felt like I've known Tyler forever. I'm sure you'll get that impression when listening to him speak. He's just a very genuine and nice guy. Some of the things that we cover on today's podcast are signing big corporate accounts, what he is most proud of in his career, and the questions that leaders should ask their teams in order to get them to think about the members, and how ultimately can teams and leaders empower every employee to give the members what they need. So, really cool episode. Any questions that you've got for me about retention or customer experience, or if you want to just bounce some ideas off me, give me an email at agymotion@gmail.com. That's agymotion@gmail.com. All right, here we go with Tyler Glenn of Lifetime.
All right, the Fitness Retention Podcast would like to welcome Tyler Glenn to the show. Tyler, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Tyler is the Business Development Manager Southeast for Lifetime. Tyler, for the people that may not know who you are, can you give a brief introduction about how you came to be where you are now and what that journey has been like?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked for Lifetime for about 5.5 years now in a couple different areas. I started actually in Houston, and then I moved up to Minnesota, moved to Birmingham, and then Atlanta, and now I'm actually back in Minnesota. So it's been a wild ride. My wife is amazing for sticking with me through all of that, for sure. Uh-huh. And each of those areas, each of those clubs and regions and the leaders especially have really been a big part of my journey and growth. And so I've gotten a chance to go from coming into the fitness industry, being brand new, knowing absolutely nothing about it. I had no gym or health club membership before starting to work at Lifetime. What? Except for the membership I bought at Lifetime 2 weeks prior to getting that. So really? Yeah, so I had no understanding of the industry at all. And then going to then leading a couple different areas and the sales efforts, and then now actually running or supporting a couple different areas on the corporate side, on the corporate business development side. It's been really, really interesting.
So what were you doing before you were in the fitness industry?
So I worked for Sinclair Broadcast Group, and they have it's fairly well known for those in the media industry, their sales training, and it's all business to business sales training. So I went through their program and did something similar. I stayed in the same area, but rose and grew a lot in my sales and just took on more of what they offered, which was just kind of offered to everyone. And then the more you take on, the more they give you, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. The more they invest in you. And then they ended up actually bringing me back to assist with one of the sales trainings before I left there to move to Houston.
So, well, one thing we didn't mention beforehand, I'm going to Atlanta next weekend. I need a hookup while I'm there for a gym, so maybe I'll talk to you after this. But
you got it. I'm actually in Atlanta 5 a.m. Monday morning.
This Monday?
Yeah, I'll be there Monday morning through Wednesday night.
Yep. Darn it. I'm going to miss you. I'm going in on Thursday night. all right. So, small world. So what do you think about, what do you think it is about proper B2B training that made you successful in your role at Lifetime and kind of like how you grew at Lifetime? Because I have a background in B2B sales as well. And I think it's hugely underrated coming into the fitness industry, because it just helps frame conversations and frame relationships, I think, and how people build relationships. But I would love to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, well, I think it really boils down to understanding or the process of understanding where the person across from you or on the other side of the phone from you, where they're at and what they need. And that transfers, like you're saying, it transfers really well into really any type of sales. But in B2B, in B2B training specifically, that's all you have to focus on, because it's a numbers game in almost any type of sales. Mm-hmm. But the better that you can take the conversation that you do get every now and again, and you can turn it into about them. So like, I'm talking to you, Alex, and I'm going to make sure that I understand what you need, Alex, and your business. And then I'm going to, if I can, I'm going to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And that mentality, you take that, you bottle it up, and then you bring it into any other sales situation. It really transfers well, like you're saying. And that it becomes the framework for how you see interactions of B2B or B2C.
Hmm. So how is selling fitness different than selling media or selling advertisements or, you know, whatever? Like, how is that different in your mind?
So I think it's just a little bit more personal.
Yeah.
I got into selling media, and I loved it because when you're meeting with a small or medium-sized business owner and you can help them grow their business, mm-hmm. you can help them get to the point where they can hire more employees or just have a little bit more breathing room, right? Mm-hmm. In their P&L. If you can get them there, that is a huge impact on their livelihood. It makes a really big difference. For this, for fitness, and then now what I'm doing, where it's fitness for an entire company, mm-hmm. That is very, very personal. And that's why I fell in love with that. That's why I've stayed with Lifetime, because every single person that you talk to that comes in and they share their past experiences, but more importantly, their dreams, their what they want to get to. Mm-hmm. Being able to help them with that that's really fulfilling. It's, you know, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it really is. Like, that's something that makes you want to get back to more, like meet another person like that and help them get from A to B to C.
Yeah. Well, I think the nice thing about this podcast is everybody feels that way that's listening, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty
I agree. Specific podcast. Totally.
So when people are like, oh, that sounds weird when I say it, it's like, not that, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Everyone gets it too. Okay. One thing that we always talk about on this podcast is retention. So what does retention mean to you in your role directly?
So currently in my role, member retention, or I'll just use the word retention, because in parlaying from what we were just talking about of helping the people I'm talking to. So I'm talking to these executives at any size company, and they're coming to me almost always. There's a few different objectives, but it's almost always about retaining their employees.
Yep.
By investing in them and investing in their health and their family's health, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one side of it, and my way of being able to help them with that is to be able to bring them in masses and volume to Lifetime and keep them there. Mm-hmm. So that's a very boiled down version of what I do, but ultimately the idea of retention, the reason that I have a job at Lifetime is because I can bring in, and the whole division, I guess, I can bring in large groups, very large groups sometimes, to our clubs, and that dues revenue goes up and then stays up because there's a stability of the company contributing either partially or all of the membership for their employees to go. And then it is something that Lifetime can build off of versus start to look at when are we going to lose them? Is this going to be a huge growth this year? And then 6 months down the road, a huge drop. Mm-hmm. And that all goes into the negotiating of the contracts, but then also what type of company and what is the objective that they have for their employees? Because if this is a long-term program for that company, mm-hmm. and the growth of their employees, investing in their employees makes sense to them, they're okay investing in that with a long-term objective, then we feel good about investing in their employees as well.
Yeah.
And it's not, just so I guess people understand more about what I'm saying, we don't do just discount programs. So you come to me and say you have 200,000 employees, unless you're going to financially invest in those employees, we're not going to partner with you.
Yeah.
We do not give you anything. So if you will contribute towards the memberships, then we'll contribute as well. And we'll build out certain programs based on usage for them. But it's a really strong play for Lifetime to be able to bring that in, mm-hmm. because those companies, they don't leave us. Our partners, we have consistent growth year after year in our partnerships, in the engagement and participation of those partnerships. And of course, that just becomes the membership base that continues to grow and stay with us.
Without disclosing anything that you're not comfortable disclosing, what's like your most proud moment in your job in terms of like bringing in a big company or a big group?
Without actually seeing the partners' names, there's been a few that we've been able to personally. Now I've been doing this for about 3 years, the business, the B2B side for Lifetime, and I've seen companies that I talked to right as I was getting into it, and they said this, they're like, hey, I'm at this growth stage, I want to make sure that my employees just feel invested and they stay with us, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm at like 35 employees right now, but I'm going to be at 500 in a couple of years, you know, and I've seen a lot of them actually grow, and I get to go, you know, engage with them and check in on them. And then, you know, after a couple of years later, they're at well over a couple hundred employees, which is awesome to see. You know, that doesn't mean all couple hundred employees are a Lifetime, but a large percentage of them are, because that employer, the owner, immediately put priority, even with a very small group, put priority on investing in the health and fitness of their employees.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of a roundabout answer for you, but that is the best part, is being able to see them grow. And it goes back to me helping businesses, but then also helping those employees with their personal growth.
Yeah. So you're kind of like aligning the business growth goals with the personal side of, you know, getting people in the gym.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it.
That's cool. So have you, I mean, I sent over a couple questions beforehand. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you is reducing frustration early in the customer journey, because oftentimes there's so many friction points like that you and I might take for granted. Well, let's use you as an example. 5 years ago or 6 years ago, you didn't have a health club membership. The Yep. first time you walked in, it sounds like it was at Lifetime, there inevitably had to have been a time where you were kind of like, what do I do here?
yeah, absolutely.
So how do you reduce friction points or frustration points, whatever you want to call them, early in the customer journey to make people feel comfortable with their purchase and not have buyer's remorse or regret or, you know, whatever you want to phrase it?
Yeah, I think so. Practically, company standpoint or an industry standpoint, I think it boils down to two pieces. One you can train for and one you can hire for.
The training is the preparation, the thorough understanding of the offerings at your gym, at your health club. If you and I don't mean just that you what you have, like you have X many ellipticals and a swimming pool, is that the actual benefits of those things that you have to offer to members that come into your club. So mm-hmm. if your salesperson has that training, if they're confident in telling someone that has no understanding, like you said, like me 5 years ago walking into Lifetime that has a lot of things, if you find out what I would like to do, that I wanted to gain weight, build, put on some muscle mass and look jacked and get a six pack, mm-hmm. but you didn't understand all of the things that Lifetime has to be able to get me from where I am to there, then that's going to be, it's just a miss without, you know, for lack of a better term. And the one that you hire for is just genuine interest in helping people. Again, kind of going back to what I was saying, it's kind of one of those things that you just feel a little bit cheesy saying, but it is, there are people that are out there that really want to help people. And yes, they could be, top performers in sales in another industry. They're absolute studs and they're money driven. But if what gets them up every day and keeps them coming back is being able to see John Doe come in with no understanding of what they have as an offering, mm-hmm. but knowing where I want to be, where John Doe wants to be, then it's going to be a totally different conversation between that salesperson and your guests, the people that are coming into your clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's funny. I was just having this conversation recently with the VP of like a large company. They have like over 150 gyms, and they were saying that like the days of just selling based on pressure are almost gone. And there's a big difference between someone who's motivated by money and that's all they care about, and someone who's motivated by money, but they actually care about helping other people.
Yeah, like, love that.
You can want money and still want to help people. And that is a totally great fitness salesperson.
Absolutely.
If you just want money, you probably shouldn't get into the health business. There's better businesses to be involved in.
Absolutely.
Do you have, when you're looking at hiring people or, you know, developing people, are there certain innate qualities that you look for that people just either have or don't?
I think that I'm not alone in that I like hiring people that come from sports, they're athletes, previous team backgrounds specifically. Yeah. But just asking behavioral questions about what that person has done in the past to help someone else where it didn't affect their business, right? Especially if you're getting a salesperson. A lot of the first type of salesperson you're just describing where they're not really there to help, they're just there for the money. That person is very unlikely to have helped a team member, whether another salesperson or you know, a neighbor or whatever it is. In because they're just so focused on them. It's all internal focus. But someone that at least has an eye out there, maybe two every now and again, on other people, the people around them, and helping them grow, then that person is going to have a lot better. That person will be better at having a conversation with human beings in general. But they're definitely going to be able to help someone, a complete stranger, get into their building, right? They're already like they're walking in. Or go from a phone call, a phone conversation, to making a commitment to enroll and to stay at your club, at your gym.
I think that second part is really important. The enrolling, I mean, you can't retain people if you don't sell memberships. And I think that from, I mean, at every touch point, retention needs to be thought about and built into your process. So in your marketing, in your first impression, in their first post-sale interaction, in their 100th post-sale interaction, you need to be thinking about my opportunity is to keep this person, not I've sold this person, they're good forever. So once, like, can we talk a little bit about in the sales process, you get them to enroll, what is the process to kind of put that little nugget in the new customer's head of like, this is the place where I'm going to stay for 5 years.
Yeah. So
that's a big question.
But I think it comes down to the community at your gym and your health club. And I think it starts before they've made that decision to enroll, which is just like what you're saying. Every part of the conversation, every part about what you're doing, the marketing is a perfect example, right? Like marketing is essentially us reaching out. And we haven't, this isn't a conversation yet. We're just telling you about us. If you have it from all the way at the very beginning of the interaction, then, and in that sales process, like a tour is a good example. If you are utilizing the community that you have there, you might even introduce them to other members, but you for sure should be introducing them to managers or staff in the area of passion that will be able to, when you tell them, hey, this is Alex. Alex is super interested in XYZ, swimming, super interested in functional training, and their eyes light up more than me. You know, if I'm the sales guy in that situation, I'm passionate about helping you. I'm passionate about fitness, but I may not be super passionate about functional training. But when I bring you to our guy for that or our gal, and they just light up and they start to speak your language. I mean, it's that we're not even talking about enrollment right there. We're not talking about joining that day. We're talking about how long are they going to stay with us? And that's super important right away. Those the building the community and the introduction.
That's something that I tell like gyms that I talk to and work with is like, if you're not introducing prospective members to current members who are important in your community, you're missing half of the opportunity, because the social proof is so much more important than you selling, like we talked about earlier, on like features or benefits. I mean, those are all really important, but I'm going to tell you, based on the questions that I've asked as a salesperson, I'm going to tell you what I think gives you the highest probability of joining.
Yeah.
Right. But yep. If someone else that already is a member there is telling you those things,
yeah,
that's cake. I mean, yep. That's easy.
More.
Okay.
Also,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you also brought up that first interaction.
Yeah.
So, and that can be a couple of different points, like I said, marketing. But what I think about that first interaction is when they come in and they talk to our front desk for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's really important, right? That our front desk is welcoming, that they're inviting, that this shouldn't be the last, you know, this isn't as far as you're going, right? Mm-hmm. Even in private clubs, like Lifetime is a private club, and there are a lot of health clubs out there that, yes, you can be a guest here, but mm-hmm. you're not a member. You know, there's that difference in feel. When you come in, it's really important to get past that piece, and then that when that introduction to the salesperson is made, when those two meet for the first time, that's where the genuine interest comes in. But it's also where the first couple questions that they're asking that guest, because they really are, they're just a guest that's walking into your club that a lot of times is, you know, kicking the tires.
Yeah.
The first couple questions that you ask are really going to set the tone for the rest of the experience, whether it's 20 minutes or an hour and a half. So even telling them sometimes, listen, I want to help you get an understanding of what we have here. Because a lot of times, right when you come up, the salesperson comes up and they're going to say something like, hey, I'm just looking for, you know, whatever it is, right? Yeah. I just want to know how much equipment you have, or I want to see how busy it is, 5:30 on Monday, right? Yeah. And so it's totally okay. We want it. Great. Let me show you that. And let me also find out a little bit more about what you're looking for so that I can show you anything else that's important and make sure that you have a good understanding of what we have here and how we can help.
Yeah. And if we're a fit for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're not always. Yep.
I'll sell you a membership and have you stay for 2 weeks.
Love that. Yep.
Okay. So what is something that every gym can do starting tomorrow to have the long-term effect of making more money?
Has a long-term effect of making more money. I would have, so, and this is something that I help with, but we're not perfect at. I would have consistent, not just once a week, but once a day, conversations with your team about where they're at with helping people. And that sounds really, that's like a really big, I guess. But to make it specific, go in and figure out what it is that your salesperson or member services person, account manager, whatever it is that they're called at your club, find out what they need to do a better job for your customers, to do a better job for your members. Mm-hmm. They will absolutely have an opinion on that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right? Like, would you agree with that?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm reading a book on the connection between customer and employee experience right now. Mm-hmm. I've already shouted it out on other podcasts, but it's called It's All About CEX, or It's All About Sex.
Yeah.
And it, one of the main things that it talks about is how easy is it for your employees to accomplish XYZ, what they need to accomplish. And it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, what can I give you to make you help people more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I often think that the disconnect is not between the frontline team members and the guests or our members. Yeah. I think it's often the manager and the frontline team member. What's that?
That's a hot take.
Yeah. I think that it's easy for managers, club managers, area managers, for us to have this, this umbrella view of what's going on in the region. But your front desk team members oftentimes are going to, and this is not every single one of them, but if you ask them, hey, what do you think we could do as Lifetime, as XYZ gym? Mm-hmm. What do you think that we could do to be better for our members or to be better for our guests? You're going to get opinions, and they may not, a lot of them are not going to be the best opinions. And out of that, they're not, you're not going to make them into media initiative.
Yeah.
But there are really good ground or grassroots level plans, things that we can be done that are very easy. And we're missing that if we're not asking the team members that have more face-to-face time with our members. than our managers do. Than
Can
we
you
do.
Give an example of that, like that you've had in your life or you've had in your career?
So with our, I don't have a really specific one for you actually, no.
Okay.
Our sales team will often hear specific objections before we do, mm-hmm. but that's circumstantial.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is really the people that will, they take more cancellation, and this is where it kind of is going to be different from club to club, but at salespeople at Lifetime are not always the people that are taking cancellation requests or membership change requests. Mm-hmm. Those people will be able to tell us, here's what is frustrating about our process. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to cancel, and we're making it so difficult that this person is never going to come back to us.
Yeah.
Right. And Lifetime has gone through some changes like that. That is usually one of the really big, it's short-sighted, right? Like, let's make it difficult so that we get a few more days or a few more weeks of dues.
Yeah. Another shout out to a good book is Would You Do That to Your Mother?
Oh, okay.
It has you ask that question of a lot of your policies and procedures. Is like, hey man, would you charge your mom an extra month if she couldn't come in today but made a phone call and wanted to cancel at the end of the month? Like,
I love that.
I think that's a really easy policy, a really easy way to think about policies. And like an example that I think is really powerful is like what we were talking about is like, how can we make your job easier so that you can do it well? Mm-hmm. This back and forth of scheduling so often, like, oh, I can't do 6:30 today. Can you do 7 on Tuesday? Or can you do 8 p.m. or 8 a.m. on Wednesday, you know?
Yep.
Where maybe a salesperson is spending 20 minutes or 30 minutes a day on scheduling, like, get the entire team a Calendly account and that at the signature of every email that is sent out.
Yep.
Like, stuff like that. Where it might say 15 minutes a day, but over a year, it's a week of time.
Yep. And
help 50 more people or 100 more people. Stuff like that is really powerful and overlooked because it's quote unquote expensive. But just like sales enablement tools, I think is a really good example of what you were talking about earlier. Okay, so you can't steal the answer that I just said, but what is something that every gym can do starting tomorrow to save time?
Hmm. Yeah, that would have been a good answer. I'm just looking in the Calendly for my team, actually.
Oh, cool.
It's a nice plug.
Yeah.
To save time, I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Interesting. Now I can see your, like, wheels turning.
Yeah. You know, this is an easy one. This is a super easy answer.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of meetings at Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Those meetings, I don't think that we do a bad job of including the wrong people, which I think is a plague for some companies that they just, everyone gets invited and only half of them need to be there.
Yeah.
But they're not, a lot of the meetings at Lifetime, there's not an agenda.
Mm.
And I think that that's very common in the industry that moves so fast. I think we have a lot of, hey, we need to get together. Let's have a quick huddle. Yeah. It's very worthwhile for that sales manager, member services manager, general manager, for sure, to think through the items that we're going to talk about. And Alex is going to take this away from the meeting. Tyler's going to take this away from the meeting. Think about that and then call your quick huddle. Even if it takes you an extra 5 or 10 minutes, your quick huddle can actually be a quick huddle then.
Hmm.
Your emergency meeting doesn't have to be a 30 minutes. Let's talk through this. Here's what's going on. Here's what I've seen so far. Do you have feedback? Great. Take it from here.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe you have to spend 15 more minutes doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's 15 people in the meeting and you're figuring that out at the beginning of the meeting for 5 minutes, that's 75 minutes.
That's so a lot you of just
a collective hour.
Yep.
Maybe my math is wrong on that, but who's counting?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And if you think about that, these are your, you know, especially if it's your managers, your salespeople spending that much time, mm-hmm. you know, worst of its prime time, right? That's a big loss that gets overlooked.
Yeah. What's a book that you've read recently that had a big impact on you?
I'm just reading. I do everything on Audible, and my phone's dead. It's the Habits book, and I've also got this one that I just started as well.
Uh-huh,
the Compound Effect. This is one that like everyone has told me I need to read it. Uh-huh. So I'm halfway through it. It's awesome. But what's the Habits one I'm talking about?
Is it the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
No, but that is an awesome book as well. It's yellow. The I'll send it to you, man.
Last kind of like big question for the show. What are you for in the business of fitness?
I am for the change from just, we've talked about it already in this call and on this show, but I'm for the change from hiring for volume sales, and in general, I don't like non-use models.
Mm-hmm.
Clubs that are built to have a low cost monthly dues, and they're never going to see you after the 2 weeks that you've been a member.
Mm-hmm.
Until you come in and you're frustrated and you want to cancel. Like I just think that's bad for the industry. I know it's bad for the industry. So one thing that I think is shifting is a commitment from past the first month or so,
mm-hmm.
from the gyms, the health clubs out there, to actually keep our members coming back, to keep the other side of the promise, right? Like a lot of times we sell a membership, we do what we can for the first week or two,
yeah.
to make sure that they're engaged, that they're stuck with us.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we don't do anything past that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just a phone call to remind you, hey, Alex, I remember that you told me you wanted to do X, Y, and Z. How's that going? It looks like you haven't been in for a while. Super mm-hmm. easy call. It takes a couple of minutes. Makes yeah. a big difference for Alex in that case.
Huge difference. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that you see the articles every January where it's like, why your health club is a bad investment. Because
yeah.
the average person only goes, 16 yep. times a year.
Yep.
And I just think that's such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes as a business, you have to assume responsibility for helping your customers along.
Yeah.
And I have nothing against, I try to be business model agnostic based on
yeah, that's fair.
My job.
Yep.
But it is a bummer when you are setting people up to not succeed. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the low price models have that is their model, but I would bet that most GMs of those clubs and the ones that I've talked to, they don't want people to not come in.
Yeah.
But they want that to be like a supplement to a really healthy fitness routine. I mean, if you're paying 15 or 20 bucks a month, almost everybody in the US, and I don't want to generalize, but can't afford that. I mean, 50 yeah. cents a day,
yeah.
right? You could cut 50 cents from your budget and afford a health club membership. But I think that oftentimes those are viewed as supplements. And if you only do go into those clubs once or twice a month, that's okay, because you're paying $5 a visit or for, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's a lot different than just having that be your only membership and then not really setting people up for success. But
I agree.
I think it's more like the first 90 to 120 days that are really crucial, not just the first 14 days. Can you give me an example of something that you've done or a team member of yours has done personally where you were like, man, I really helped guide that person or these people to success?
He doesn't work for me anymore, but sales guy for me, we call him account managers. Great guy. Loved working with him. He worked for me for a year and a half or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even a couple months in, he and I had just had this conversation just in a cafe. It wasn't like a one-on-one, we're working yeah. on performance or anything. And he said something to the effect of that, this has been a while, so it's not going to be verbatim, but he said something like, man, I feel like a lot more people lately, and he's saying, this is a long lately, by the way, have been leaving and wanting and saying that they want to make a decision, or they want to think about it, or they want to sleep on it and things like that, right? Like the things that we hear very often. Mm-hmm. And I knew to ask him a little bit more about his sales process, especially the tour. Mm-hmm. And it just came out that he was just overwhelming them. So yeah. He was a super genuine guy. Like going back to hiring, he was absolutely what you want there. He's a performer and he legitimately cared.
Yeah.
But he needed to prepare a little bit more. And instead of just throwing all this information at him about all the things that we have at Lifetime, he wouldn't just find out, Alex, what do you need? And then point you to the things that you need.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to plug some other things that'll get them connected that you think they might enjoy.
Yeah.
But man, he would give them the whole thing. This is a Disney World tour. And man, it was killing him. But a couple weeks later, he was a totally different player for us. And it made a big difference for him personally.
Nice. Tyler, we're going to wrap soon. How can people find you, and what is the benefit of finding you?
I mean, I'm always happy to help, especially with anything sales related. I help a couple friends that are in different industries, and sales is sales. It's human interaction. So I'm always happy to help there. Mm-hmm. So you can always reach out to me. My Lifetime email is tglenn, G-L-E-N-N, mm-hmm. at lt.life. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. Tyler Glenn. Love to talk to you.
Easy. All right. Well, we will wrap with that. I want to thank you, Tyler, for coming on. I would say enjoy the beautiful weather, but you told me it was negative 30 today, right?
Yes, sir.
So yep. Stay warm.
Not too bad.
Yep. But yeah, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. I think that, at least for me, there are no Lifetimes in California. I've never been to a Lifetime, but hopefully I will when I get to Atlanta in a week.
You will. Yes,
I will.
It was great being on the show. Thanks for reaching out, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Boop, hold on, boop.
All righty, that was my episode with Tyler Glenn of Lifetime Athletic. Really great dude, really enjoyed that conversation, and just fun to talk to. So if you are interested in being on the show, or you think you've got someone you'd like to nominate, or you'd like to talk about retention and how you can improve retention at your gym or your club or your facility, shoot me an email at agymotion@gmail.com. That's agymotion@gmail.com. All right, talk to you soon, and thanks, as always, for listening to the Fitness Retention Podcast with me, Alex Armstrong.